good. I like the Twitter plug early on. Get yourself a few more followers.
Yeah, you know, apparently I'm not public enough, so that's the only way to do that is to get yourself out there, I guess.
That's right.
This is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Laird, Mike Gottlieb.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. As always, I'm with Andrew Laird. I'm Mike Gottlieb at Sports by Gotti on Twitter and at RotoWire Andrew for my counterpart over there. Hello. How's it going?
Pretty good. I like the Twitter plug early on. Get yourself a few more followers.
Yeah. You know, apparently I'm not public enough, so that's the only way to do that is to get yourself out there, I guess.
That's right.
All right. So we have our usual show lineup today. We're going to start with our rankings and then go around the league and then do our Mondo Goal Daily Dose for this upcoming weekend. We're not going to discuss how we did last weekend, except actually we will discuss it, but we'll discuss it later. Andrew Laird had the most unimpressive victory of all time, and we'll talk about it as we get to the feature later. But let's start off with our rankings discussion here. Lots to discuss. Chris, you and I went through our rankings for RotoWire.com, which will be posted later today. And I want to start off with our forwards, as we always do. Diego Costa and Sergio Aguero, 1 and 2, as really nothing else to be expected there. But a couple names that I just want to get to here is Diafra Sakho. We ranked him in the mid-range at number 9. What's his chances of playing, you think?
I think he's probably in the 75% range, actually. He is further along than Enner Valencia, who we're still kind of waiting to find out what happened to him. It's just one of these. He picked up a knock in training, and there hasn't been a lot of info. Usually that injury information comes out Thursday, Friday, so hopefully Big Sam tells us what's going on. But I think Sacco's got a much better chance of playing than Valencia.
Yeah, and because of that, that segues nicely to a player that I loved at preseason. And we have now gotten two people actually ranked him this week. I did not. I was the one who didn't. But Andy Carroll made the rankings this week at number 13. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were as far as a partnership if those two were to start together.
Yeah, I love it. I think he came out really strongly last week. He got the start with Sakho and Valencia out. So he took 6 shots on the day, which is kind of what you expect when he's on the pitch. He's a big body that we keep talking about. You know, they've got some towering forwards on this squad that, we hope Aaron Cresswell and Stuart Downing just lob balls in for him. And, you know, with neither Valencia nor Sakho guaranteed to play this week, Carroll presumably will get the start. And, you know, it's a home game against Newcastle. I like the matchup, too.
Yeah, I think it's a decent matchup. It's not a great matchup to me, but especially because of how well Newcastle's been playing. Mm-hmm. So it's always a little bit of a crapshoot. But someone who made the list for the first time is Danny Ings after his 2-goal performance last week. And a decent matchup this week with Aston Villa for Burnley are now apparently a hot team this week for everyone pick.
That's right.
But I feel like in our rankings, you're kind of, the center, the median. And then Chris and I are just opposite ends of a pendulum. it's very rare that it's us two that rank a guy and you don't. But Danny Ings is that guy this week. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on his matchup and his talent.
I'll start with his talent. He clearly has shown some excellent form lately, and I'd say he was probably in that 16-17 range for me. It's not like I thought he wasn't going to do anything, but I think Aston Villa is going to try to clamp down. As we've seen, they've been able to. They just have had a tough stretch of games that they're just getting out of, and I think they are going to try to essentially just grab a point at Burnley. I don't see this one being terribly open. If you're gonna pick somebody from Burnley to score, it's clearly gonna be Ings. So if a listener out there thinks that I'm crazy and this is gonna be a high scoring one, then Ings is certainly the way to go.
Yeah, I think most likely scorer of that game, not on either side, but on Burnley, I think, is Danny Ings. Mm-hmm. And then one last name I wanted to get to for forwards is our last ranked guy, Nikita Jelovic, who's coming back for a haul. He played last week, but I want to know, because neither me nor Chris ranked him, but you did. And I like the Jelovic. I just need to see it first. What have you seen that makes you want to rank him so high? You ranked him, I believe, 12th? 11th.
11th, yeah. I think it was a little more to do with the matchup than Jelovic specifically. I'm And that's, I'm, despite some decent play lately, I'm not all that confident in the United back line. So
Chris Mozinski is, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes. So that's really it with Abel Hernandez still banged up. You know, Yelovich is going to be the big body in the box. And I kind of like his chances in the box next to, you know, 17-year-old Patty McNair.
Yeah, and we'll talk about him in a little bit. But let's get to our midfielders. It's mostly the names that you know.
A lot of chalk here.
And what I just wanted to get to two names because I think they're too low. Oscar is at 8 behind the likes of Tadic and Sigurdsson this week. Tadic especially with a bad matchup. And I'm wondering why he dropped so far. And Adam Lallana, I think, is long. He was number 15. I ranked him, I believe, the highest of the three of us. But I think that Lallana, as long as Ricky Lambert's playing up front, has a really good potential there, because I think you saw it last week. They still have that connection from the Southampton days, and I think that there's something to exploit there. But let's first get to Oscar and then get to Adam Lallana, if you agree with me. So first, Oscar.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I actually have Oscar ahead of Sigurdsson, but I do have him behind Tadic. Southampton has Man City at home, so I think that's a little bit of a better matchup than we presume it'll be. And they've kind of been a little banged up in the back anyway, so I don't think Southampton's gonna, you know, blow them out of the water. But I also don't think they're gonna get shut out. And I think, you know, Tadic is gonna be part of that scoring. You know, it's the same reason why we have Graziano Pelle ranked as highly as we do. You and I have him. You know, not to go back to forwards, but we have him pretty high, and Chris has him much lower.
Yeah.
He has a little more faith. He loves the Manchester defense, whether it's City or United. But
yeah.
I think Tadic will be involved, and so I think it's fair to have him sort of in that Oscar range. But I agree, Oscar's playing really well lately, and I've kind of looked at that game as the one to exploit. You know, it's Chelsea at Sunderland, so yeah. We've always said Sunderland is better at home, but that doesn't mean they're good defensively, so. I think that's fair. I think maybe there's just a little hesitation to rank three Chelsea midfielders in the top five or so.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, last week was a little bit of an aberration, but all three of them got on the scoreboard along with Diego Costa. They get the perfect game for Chelsea people.
Sure, sure.
So, it can be done. It's shown it can be done. But mm-hmm. I understand the speculation. But I guess the point is that I like to make with rankings is you don't have to take all three, but you do need to reflect that they're all valuable.
Yep. I get you there.
So,
I think, I actually find the midfielders to be stronger this week than any of the other positions. I think the forwards tend to be a little more hit or miss just based off of matchups this week. But I'm comfortable with Oscar, certainly. And
yeah.
Lallana, I kind of agree with you that I think he certainly has the possibility to turn it around. I'm not totally convinced yet that Lambert's going to start just because he's starting today, Wednesday, this Champions League match. And so it wouldn't shock me if maybe Barini got the start this weekend. It's entirely possible that Balotelli comes back too. He's out for today's match, but I don't think he's been ruled out for any further.
Yeah, and Liverpool in the rumor mill are rumored to be going after Porto's Jackson Martinez.
Yes.
So I'd be on the lookout for that too going forward.
And coincidentally, Lambert getting loaned back to Southampton to make room for him.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Yeah, and not for him, but
I think it'd be funny for him. He still gets paid.
Nothing like finally scoring your first goal for your childhood club and then getting sent away.
Yep. All right, defenders. It's a personal point of pride for me that the two young names that I mentioned at the beginning of the year are now ranked 2 and 3 composite-wise. So
very impressive.
So Kieran Trippier ranked 2 and Aaron Cresswell ranked 3. We've talked about them both, but why Trippier so high this week?
I guess there's that belief that the belief that I didn't have in Danny Ings. I kind of, you know, if Ings is going to be involved, it's possible that it's going to come from Trippier. You know, he seems like the most likely candidate to throw the ball in. So,
and he bombs down the side.
Sure does. And Aston Villa haven't particularly been hot offensively this season. So I kind of like the clean sheet possibility there as well.
Just hot tempered.
Yes. Right. one more week without Benteke. One more.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then the least
predictable. Ridiculous red card I've seen all year.
It really was. probably because of his red temper. But the goalkeepers for this weekend are – I just want to point out that the rankings, the composite numbers, there was a sharp drop-off. So yep. Thibaut Courtois was not was first, and it was easy. You know, all three of us ranked him first. Yep. Then from there, it was all over the place. Mm-hmm. So we have Tom Heaton ranked number two. So apparently no one likes Aston Villa. And I actually – I want to go on record and say I think it's a mistake if you start – I mean, Tom Heaton would probably be worth it in daily games. He's worth the risk. But I'm not confident on it at all.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why I ranked him fifth. But
yeah, I think I saw Gabby Agbonlahor on the rankings somewhere.
Yeah, I snuck Gabby Agbonlahor on the rankings. He's actually been playing pretty well without Benteke there. And I think when Benteke comes back, Gabby Agbonlahor will be one of the wings in that attacking three that they use. So I think that there's a lot of potential there, even when Benteke comes back. If you have him, Wijnman, and Benteke up front, if they do a 4-3-3, which is what they like to do,
yep.
I think that would be great. I think that's actually competitive.
Yeah, I understood.
Yeah, but so back to Tom Heaton. I think that there's a potential that both teams score in this game, which I think a lot of people are just not. They don't think that that's possible, but I think it is. I think 1-1 is the outcome of this game. I'll put that on record now. I'll stamp it.
Okay.
But that I just think Tom Heaton too. I mean, it's not like we had any kind of confidence. He had 8 total points between the three of us, so it's not like there was a ton of confidence here.
Correct.
But also David De Gea, someone who Chris loves the Manchester United defense. So we'll go through this now. We teased it a little bit earlier, but Chris Smalling, Paddy McNair made the defensive rankings for him. And then David De Gea is the number two goalkeeper. So he's all in on the Manchester United defense, and that is a difficult stock to buy. Your thoughts?
I don't know if it's really that difficult. I think we kind of discussed this previously, that if we had seen if it wasn't Man United and it was a club, you know, if it was another nameless mid-table club, although they're well above mid-table at this point, they gave up 1 goal to Chelsea. They gave up 1 goal to Man City. They shut out Crystal Palace, and they gave up 1 goal to Arsenal. And that's not even the fact that that's a pretty solid, aside from Crystal Palace, that's, you know, 3 of the top 4 teams from last season with Chelsea, Man City, and Arsenal giving up 1 goal to each of them. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Here's my take on that. Mm-hmm. Does their team change without Daily Blind?
Well, they didn't have him at Arsenal, and they gave up 1 at Arsenal.
One's not none.
So, well, right.
But, I know, but it's at Arsenal. I understand.
But Arsenal, I understand. You know, Hull City's not Arsenal.
I understand. Well, offensively, I actually think that they're pretty close. But we're talking about my love for Hull City. We'll talk about that when we get to the actual game.
Right. But we're talking about Hull City without Abel Hernandez, possibly.
Well, but with Nick Ichielovich is
right. Well, sure. Like him. Well, yeah. I am not as trusting in the Man United defense, but I think they're getting a bit of a bad rap because they're Man United. And if they were Swansea with that track record, I think we would say,
they've got a home game. This is fourth place Manchester United, isn't it?
Exactly. And so I think if we, you know, if it was any other club that was on the defensive run they're on, not that I want to call it a defensive run, but if they're playing, giving up as few goals as they have been, and now they're home against Hull City, I think that's probably one we would have ranked.
Yeah. What's weird is, you know, it's almost like Italian soccer. Like if you lose to them, you have no idea how you lost, but you just look at the score sheet and you're like, how did we not get 3 points against these people?
Yeah.
They played terribly, but somehow you seem to lose or only get a draw. Case in point, Chelsea.
Yeah. Well, I think we also need to recognize that Hull has scored 1 goal in their last 4 matches.
Yeah. They fit a rough patch for sure.
Right. But so I think you're looking at a team that is playing well defensively and one that is not scoring. I mean, that's kind of what you look for, right?
Yeah, kind of. I'm not a huge proponent of past performance dictating future results. I tend to...
It's recent past, though.
It's... Yeah, but I mean, 3 weeks ago, the team looks completely different. I mean, 3 weeks ago, we were saying, oh, just a blip from the week before.
Yeah.
So I understand what we're talking about, but I think that the opportunity is also there for Hull to take advantage of a potentially back three.
Yeah.
You know, and they use a back three, and we'll talk about it more when we get to the actual individual matchup. I just think that David De Gea, who's been great, don't get me wrong, I think he's been
it hasn't been his fault.
Yeah, it has been his fault. He's been one of the top performing goalkeepers to the point where Real Madrid is looking at it again. So he has a lot to think about probably in the summer.
Yep.
But for now, I think he's performing at a world-class rate. But I think he's a good individual player. I just don't like his situation. I'm not buying in to the recent Manchester United defense, especially because Daley Blind's now out for a long time.
Yep.
And they're not going to be able to track runners now from the midfield or from at their forward position. It's just not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And if Chris Smalling plays right back again, they're going to concede 4 or 5. He's terrible at right back. He's tricky as the center back for some reason. I don't know why, but he's like Johnny Evans light as a right back. And Johnny Evans didn't even play right back. He's more likely to turn it into his own net than he is to do anything else.
That's fair.
So I don't want to get too far into it. We're going way too far into that right now. But I guess that segues nicely into our rip around the league now, because we are going to get more in depth about things. So I think we covered Man United versus Hull City. So that's one of the 10 o'clock games. But the early game, the 7:45 game, is West Brom at the Hawthorns playing against your Arsenal team. No one really liked Arsenal defensively because no one really ranked a lot of defenders high or the goaltender high. So is this another Sadio Berahino game?
Yeah, I don't think this one scores. I think we had Callum Chambers pretty high, actually.
We did. I don't know if Chris did.
Correct. Chris has no faith in the Arsenal defense, which I think is fair. I actually included Chambers more for his offensive capabilities than his.
That's exactly what I did as well.
So I don't think either team, leaves without a goal. West Brom, I ranked Berahino, so I think he's probably the one who's going to end up with the goal if. I think there's a goal, and it's coming from him. The Arsenal defense is just in shambles right now. Koscielny is coming back. He's on the bench today against Dortmund, so that'll at least bring some kind of stability to it. But, Wojciech Szczęsny is hurt. He's got a hip injury. It's unclear if he's going to be able to make it back by the weekend. So,
don't they wish they still had Fabianski now?
He wasn't going to stick around to play this role. So, they understood. You have to understand why he left and why they went.
I heard Peter Cech's available in January.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they would love to take him right after they grab Ander Herrera from Man U. But I think I don't have a lot of faith right now in the Arsenal defense, particularly on the road.
So would you start Berahino in a weekly league?
I'd definitely consider it. You'd have to see the prices around him. But the matchup certainly doesn't turn me away from him.
Especially because it's at the Hawthorns, and that's not an easy place to play.
Correct.
So, especially because Nacho Monreal, instead of Callum Chambers, played in the middle, which is lunacy. Callum Chambers is a much better center back, even though you sacrifice the offensive capability. But that's
he's there because Debuchy's still out. But
I'm saying if you're going to pick between Nacho Monreal and Callum Chambers to play center half versus fullback, I think Nacho Monreal should play fullback.
Yeah.
Of the two of them.
It really should be 18-year-old Hector Bellerin, but that's
I'm saying just between the two of them, if you had a choice.
Yep, I hear you. Thankfully, Mertesacker and Koscielny should be back together. So
should be, but we'll see how it goes today. For if he gets in at the game at all today, that'll be a good sign. But I'm not sure what it means for Wenger, because Wenger loves to ease people back in.
Yep.
So if he doesn't get in the game today, I'm not too sure about Saturday's status.
Well, especially since they play Tuesday also, the game week 14 starts up right away. So it's not the ideal schedule for a club that is just in disarray in terms of injuries.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So we'll move on now to Liverpool-Stoke. Liverpool at home. And I don't think there's much here that tempts you from a fantasy standpoint, because I think there will be goals scored, but I have no idea who's going to score them. Is that a decent summary for you?
I certainly have no idea where they come from the Stoke side now that Victor Moses is out for 8 weeks. So, he seemed like the one who created so much of the offense, and that's a big role to lose. That being said, Liverpool is horrific defensively, so it's entirely possible that they could win 3-2 and. You could have Skrull and Lovren own goals. Who knows? Yeah. But, the Liverpool side, we were talking, we talked about it before. You just go with the attacking options of Lambert if he starts, Lallana, Raheem Sterling, I still think is valuable enough in most leagues just because he did, you know, he's still taking a decent number of shots. Though after that, it gets dicey. I still don't like Gerrard for how great he was last year. He's been equally as poor this year, thanks, because he's losing his...
He's lost his speed.
Well, he's also lost his Uruguayan flopper in the box.
Well, I mean, there's a little bit to that, but I think that Steven Gerrard has also been put on an island this year, and he can't do that anymore. He just doesn't have the legs to do that anymore.
Yep, that's completely fair. Now he'll just play this one out and then join the Cosmos.
Yeah, he is literally walking alone out there. QPR are playing against Leicester City. This is a game where I have no idea what the score is, and if they do score, I have no idea who's scoring it. And I ranked Kasper Schmeichel because I just think he's amazing. You know, last week was testament to that. He played very, very well. But QPR and Leicester, I guess you can make a case for Charlie Austin at home.
That's the only case I'm making.
Yeah, but I just don't buy Charlie Austin.
Yeah, you've said that before.
A lot of people like him. I don't see it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. I think this game will go up against Burnley. Aston Villa is the most ignored of the weekend.
Yeah. We'll get to that one next, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's much in this game other than Austin you could really put your confidence in.
Even though I think as a game, Burnley, Aston Villa will be largely ignored, fantasy players will be paying attention to this game because especially for weekly fantasy players, Burnley is a rare opportunity because they're going to be low priced and they're like, this is a decent matchup for them.
Yep.
And while we're at it, Aston Villa too.
Yeah.
You might be able to get away with a Ron Villar or an Okore this week.
Yeah.
Want to go for a low price defender.
Yeah. I don't know how low price Burnley will be. I'm quickly looking over here at DraftKings. Trippier is the second highest priced defender.
Yeah, but if you're going for clean sheets, you don't necessarily need to go. You go with the least expensive option.
Yep. So. I'm just saying, they're not, you know,
like Ben Mee, for example.
He's the second highest overall, not even just on Burnley. Yeah. So I think.
What's Mee at? M-E-E.
Yeah. He's at 3,200, which is.
Which is low.
Very low. Yeah. 3,000 is the minimum, I believe.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, there. There you go. I mean, there's a low price option that has a decent chance for a clean sheet.
Yep.
So, astute players may be going to that level. I mean, I for the Mondo goal, I went with a different option, but we'll get to that in a little bit, though. But I think as a fantasy game, I think Burnley, Aston Villa will draw more eyes than QPR, Leicester.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah, but a game that will draw more eyes for both fantasy and for regular eyes would be we'll go with West Ham versus Newcastle, two teams that are performing very, very well. Newcastle up to fifth.
I think they're tied for fourth.
But I think with goal differential, they're in fifth.
Sounds about so, right. Let me correct. Yep.
Yep. So, yeah.
A negative goal differential, and yet fifth in the table.
Hey, you know, if you lose one game 8-0 and you win a bunch of games 2-1, you're going to – that's fine. Yeah. I don't care what you do with the one game, you get blown out. You got blown out. Mm-hmm. Fine. But West Ham, Newcastle, West Ham, I think the important factor here is that it's at Upton Park. And the with the bubbles, so I think that makes a big difference here. And a lot of people have been targeting West Ham defenders in this, and I ranked Adrian as well. I'm not too convinced with the newfound Newcastle offense. I think they've been largely getting away with it, largely getting points because of their defense. But I think at West Ham, I don't think you can count on that.
Yeah, I ranked Adrian as well, and we both had Cresswell, obviously. Although we kind of made the point that was for. Offensive purposes. Winston Reed's actually out of this one because he got his fifth yellow card last week. But
I wanted to rank him.
Yeah. Yep. He definitely would have been ranked had he been able to play. I kind of agree with you that I'm not totally convinced on this Newcastle attack. You know, we're depending on a guy like Eozie Perez to put up some big numbers. And you know, West Ham at the heart is a defensive side. Maybe even more so if they're missing Sacco and Valencia. So I think there's I don't know if there's a ton of goals in this one. I think West Ham has at least one or two in them, but I agree with you that I'm not sold on Newcastle yet.
Yeah, Newcastle I think is too volatile because think about the offer that we were talking about last week. You know, is IOC Paris just the flavor of the month? And with that becomes just too much volatility. You never know what's going to happen.
Right. It was Rolando Ahrens for a bit, and now it's
And it was Gabby Oberton. Yep. It was Poppy Cisse. Yep. Just, you know, which is cool if you like balanced production.
Yaya Sanogo just scored. Unbelievable.
Did he really?
Yaya Sanogo. Just blasted him for 20 minutes, and he scored. Unbelievable.
No scores, no goals.
Unbelievable. looks like he's about 17 feet tall next to Santi Cazorla.
That's actually not that difficult to do. But Arsene Wenger makes a good decision. Filed that under News of the Weird for today.
Cazorla with the assist, too. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Swansea City are at home against Crystal Palace here. These two teams, for some reason, they remind me of each other. I think that they are very close to each other, except for in the difference maker, though, is Wilfred Bony, who's been playing lights out recently.
Sure has, yeah. Yeah, I've got him ranked, I think, fourth in our forwards. He and Sigurdsson are both just excellent plays. I think Crystal Palace is just, they're just not, you know, if you looked at them last year and thought that's what you're getting, this is a completely different side, and they're not one that plays enough defense to make you think that they're going to keep Swansea out on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that, but I also think that Crystal Palace has the ability to score on Swansea.
Yeah. Well. Oh, yeah. No, I get that. I kind of included Fabianski on the rankings just for...
As did I.
As for save purposes, really, because...
Well, it also, I mean, because they're at home, they play better at home.
Yep.
And Crystal Palace plays worse on the road because they have one of the best home field advantages. So I really hope Crystal Palace, who is currently in a relegation position.
Yep.
They got out of the relegation position last week by beating Liverpool.
That's right.
But I really hope that they stay up because that crowd is amazing, both home and road. Yeah. I just would love to hear them every week. So anyway, that's a personal note, but I think that the difference maker in this game, both fantasy wise and for real life, will be Wilfred Bony.
Mm-hmm.
And Sigurdsson versus, let's say, Saha, Punchin, who would you rather have, like, in that?
Yeah, definitely Sigurdsson. I feel like Zaha
I told you last week he's not a guaranteed start, and I was 100% right.
Yep, it's really frustrating that it's just frustrating because he should be there. Frankly, they should be playing him and Punchin together. So,
frankly, Saha should be transferred back to Manchester United.
Well, he probably wouldn't play there anyway.
Are you sure?
I feel like if Louis van Gaal wanted him, he would have kept him. I think he, yeah, yes, I'm fairly confident in that.
All right. Well, that finishes off the 10 o'clock games. Let's move to the 12:30 game. Sunderland, who play better at home, but they're playing Chelsea.
Sunderland play better offensively at home. They give up goals wherever they go. So, this is kind of the matchup that we've been talking about exploiting all game, just as Ludo Goretz goes up 1-0 on Liverpool. We kind of look at the Chelsea. There are very few games where you are not playing all of the offensive players against Chelsea. And frankly, I'm not sure there are any games where you really sit them. The only club that you would, if you had players like Costa and Hazard and Fabregas, the only team that you would consider sitting them against is Chelsea, and they happen to play for them already.
Yeah. So here's, well, I think we're going to see what, I mean, Southampton, we'll talk about Southampton a little bit, but Chelsea, as part of the condensed schedule, will play at St. Mary's. That's a game where I might hesitate to put offensive options in, both for schedule reasons, because they've been playing a lot of games, and because it's Southampton, who played very well defensively. I think that's the first time that I'll consider sitting any of them.
That's fair. I think...
I don't think I will, but I'll consider it.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
Think about how dominant Chelsea have been, by the way.
It's
pretty scary how they still haven't lost.
Yep.
No one looks like... I mean, if for example, this reminds me of like a top college football team that's a favorite in every game they play.
Yeah, and
even on the road, they are a favorite in every game.
Yep, absolutely. And I think there's really not a matchup that we see. You know, you said Southampton at home. You know, I don't.
Well, Southampton at Southampton.
That's what I mean. Sorry, when Southampton's at home, I don't see them coming close. You know, I don't. I nobody. I think in their realistic right mind would take Man City over Chelsea, you know, playing at the Emirates. And,
well, I was about to say, they've already done that.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So here's, you know, funny parallels here. When Chelsea went to both Man City and Manchester United, Chelsea were dominant in both games.
Yep.
And let up late goals in both games.
Yeah. We talk about how much clean sheets are ruined for stuff like that. And
yeah,
there are now some fantasy games that are rewarding points for giving up one goal, which is always nice. But I agree. Chelsea's just absolutely dominant. But I think they're going to be, fantasy wise, we're going to be tested pretty well over the next coming game, you know, few games with this condensed schedule because,
you know,
Costa's not going to play everyone. I'm actually more confident in guys like Hazard and Fabregas to play a little more than somebody like Costa. But, you know, that midfield is deep. You know, they have Willian and Schürrle, Oscar. Like, they've got enough pieces where Mourinho can confidently put out a squad that likely would finish, you know, in the top four in Premier League, even without Costa and Fabregas. So,
yeah, it's a very interesting team. I'm not sure when they'll lose, but I'm pretty sure they will at some point. I just don't know when.
Yeah, I'm not.
Your guess will be as good as mine.
Yeah. Well, do you think it'll end up being one of those fluky ones, like losing at Crystal Palace, or do you think?
I don't think that's as fluky as people think this year.
Well.
But
I meant more that last year's was fluky.
I think it'll be in the condensed schedule, and I think there'll be some, you know, like Kurt Zouma will play.
Yep.
You know, one of those type of situations. And I don't think it'll be with the full first team.
Yep. Which, so, you know, and I noticed Remy wasn't available yesterday for the absolutely dominant performance over Schalke. I mean, I didn't even mention Ramirez previously in that midfield. I mean, man.
It was an emphatic victory.
Yep.
Way to put them through to the next round as well. Yeah. But you know, is there anyone on Sunderland back to the Premier League matchup here that you would play or no?
No, I mean, I don't know. I'm not comfortable here at all. I mean, okay. Like we said, they're better at home, but I mean, we're talking about the best team in the Premier League by a wide margin.
Yeah. By an 8-point margin? No, right. A 6-point margin, something like that now?
Six.
Yeah. So that good.
Yeah.
And we'll move on to Sunday's games now. Two really good games on Sunday.
Yeah, sure are.
Before the NFL. So, you know, you can get a real full day of sports in on Sunday. Southampton start. We'll get into Southampton now. So Southampton start off their difficult portion of their schedule is what I'll call it now. They are playing at home against Man City. And I just want to throw out their fixture list here. So Southampton for the next six games, I think. It's Southampton at home against Man City, at Arsenal. Home to Manchester United. These are consecutively. At Burnley, which
those, is... Those, all of those games are within 10 days, too.
Correct. And then 5 days later, at Burnley, not an easy place to play.
Mm-hmm.
Home to Everton. Then at Crystal Palace, not an easy place to play, as mm-hmm. we discussed. Home to Chelsea. And then starting the new year, home to Arsenal. That's just until January 1st. And then
at Man U.
Then at Man U.
Yeah.
So until January 11th, we are going to find out a lot about Southampton.
Yep.
This is where the depth of their squad is going to get tested because I've been talking about it before. I don't see it.
Yep.
You know, this is where, like, if they are going to be really contending for Champions League football next year, if they are going to buy in the transfer market, I think if they are buyers, you'll see it at January 12th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so for this weekend, what do you think? How do you think it starts for them?
I think they absolutely have the ability to draw, to multi-goal draw. Aguero is arguably the hottest player in the Premier League right now.
It was really hard for me not to rank him first this week.
The only reason I didn't was just for what we were talking about, that Southampton at home have been just excellent. And so
it has to be a strong matchup advantage for me to rank Costa first now.
Yep. Yep.
Which I think this is.
I agree. So certainly
didn't stop Zinski ranking him fourth.
Well, yeah. Certainly on the feet of Sergio Aguero, Man City probably has a goal or two in them. He's another one though that is likely going to be rested over the coming days, and so it's unclear when he's going to get those rests, which is a little frustrating from a fantasy perspective. but there's no way he plays in all of these games, like 0% chance. And so,
well, I think in the games he does play, I don't think he'll play 90.
That too. So, although, like I've always said that there are plenty of guys who don't need a lot of time to score, and he's one of them. So, but yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be a lot of Jovetic. Dzeko's not back yet, but as soon as he comes back, he'll get a decent number of starts. I think they like, or they're comfortable playing Dzeko up front by himself, whereas I don't really see them doing that with Jovetic much. But so we'll see what happens there. But I think Man City, you know, they're definitely better defensively at home, and so I'm not looking at Southampton's matchup thinking, oh, they're playing Man City, I got to stay away. So I think, you know, just the regular options that we always look at. It's Aguero, Yaya Toure, Graziano Pelle, Tadic. You could even throw Sadio Mane in there if you want. And then I didn't rank any of the defenders, I don't think. Actually, I threw Nathaniel Clyne in there just from an offensive standpoint. You could make the case for Bertrand also. But I stayed away from Kompany and Zabaleta. And I think this is going to be a great game with goals in it.
So another game that's going to have a lot of goals in it on Sunday, we'll transition now, is Tottenham and Everton. Mm-hmm. Spurs at home at White Hart Lane against Everton. And just like the game at 8:30, this game I think is going to have goals in it, and I think we know who's going to score them, and it's going to be a mixture of Harry Kane and Romelu Lukaku.
Yep, yep. I rank Kevin Morales also.
He's not a guaranteed start for me. I know that Roberto Martinez loves, he still likes his Aiden McGeady and, you know, the ghost wonder of, of Naismith.
Naismith. Yeah. I think, you know, that's fair. Morales was actually kind of a surprise start last week after,
came back early.
Yeah. Came back very early. So, I'm a little more confident in Morales. Barkley,
we'll see. Well, they have Europa on Thursday, so we'll see what their, yep, lineup is on Thursday to, yep, see if anyone's been rested or not.
Correct, yeah. They're still likely missing Leighton Baines, which is a pretty big hole to fill, both offensively and defensively. So we'll see what happens, you know, who they put in the back. Not that Leighton Baines was going to be the key for a clean sheet. Oh,
yeah, yeah, true. And just an old question that we've asked, and I'm going to rehash it here. After Harry Kane, rank the next two or three Tottenham options.
Christian Eriksen and Chadli, I guess.
Yeah.
Lamella.
Nope.
No, it's definitely not Lamella.
No, I would go Danny Rose before him.
Yeah.
Which is that's how bad Lamella's been.
Yeah. It looks like Adebayor's, he supposedly missed last week because of a back injury, but
don't care.
Yeah, he's
It's Harry Kane's. It's Harry Kane's job now.
Oh, sure. Well, they started Kane with Soldado. Not that anybody would dare take Soldado for fantasy purposes, but nope. I like that they're at least experimenting with two strikers, especially with Adebayor on the bench, or, you know, excuse me, unavailable, that they were basically playing just those two. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, another team that's interested in Jackson Martinez, by the way. Yep. You know, and we'll see what happens. You know, they'll probably look at Jay Rodriguez as well from Southampton.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we had spoken about that previously, that I think he's going to be the January transfer that Southampton brings in. I don't think they necessarily need to do a lot if he comes back.
Oh, Jay Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a free transfer basically from a guy.
They will need depth.
Yeah.
As we discussed.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do our daily dose now. We have our Mondo Goal teams picked. Last week, would you like to just tell the story about what happened last week with you and your Mondo Goal team?
Sure. I think we had discussed it on the podcast that I really liked the possibility of Casper Schmeichel, and I did Paul Konchesky. I paired them together home against Sunderland. And eventually I put the team in on an invite from my good friend Mike Gottlieb, who's invited me to one of these leagues. And based off of some good play from those two, I'm actually going to pull my team up here because it was one of these 10-slot games. I finished, thanks to pretty good performances from Costa, Yaya Toure, and Oscar, plus my clean sheets from Schmeichel and Konchesky, I finished with 103 points, which finished first, and the second place person finished with 78. So I absolutely dominated this group, and it wasn't until after everything was said and done that I realized that there was no payout.
My question
was, why would I ever get invited to a league with zero payout? I don't even know why they have them. So I now no longer accept invites from leagues from Mike Gottlieb, because I would have made so much money with this lineup that we wouldn't even be talking anymore. I'd be on a Caribbean island by now. But instead, here we are chatting during another Arsenal Champions League match, talking about our DraftKings lineups.
It's such sweet justice.
There was
for
actually
some reason.
I will pull myself back a little bit on the story that I then decided to throw in another lineup on a paid game, or I went to do another lineup, another paid game, or what I thought was another paid one, and I went with Begovic and Shawcross, thinking the Begovic.
Which was my suggestion.
Right. And which turned out to just...
They gave up two goals real quick to Danny Ings.
Within like 5 minutes of this match, by the way, Ricky Lambert scored for Liverpool today. It was just...
With his luck, he won't start Saturday.
Right. But I found out the hard way that Mondo goal locks before 10 o'clock. And I tried to put my lineup in at like 9:55 or whatever it was, and I was locked out. And I complained about it on Twitter, and I had a few of our, I don't know if it was guy who follows me or podcast list or whatever it was, basically said, oh, that's tough luck, but I had Begovic also, so we wouldn't have won any money anyway.
Yeah. At least misery has company, right?
Lesson learned that Mondo goal locks before kickoff.
There you go.
Well,
tell me, which Arsenal player was it?
Nope. It was Dortmund that almost scored on one of their 17 Marco Reus lookalikes.
Lukas Piszczek? Blaszczykowski.
I was going to say it might have been Blaszczykowski or whatever.
He used to be called Kuba, and I don't know why he left that name. Okay, so let's go with
Klopp looking so good on the sideline there at the Emirates. Anyway. So
let's go to Mondo goal.
I'm going to jump in. I'll start us off.
Which we have locked in long before kickoff, so we'll start with you. Right.
I'm going all in on the Burnley defense. So despite some increased prices on the defenders, I'm starting Tom Heaton at goalkeeper, and then my two defenders are Trippier and Shackle, because I think Shackle was the next cheapest. I'll have to actually look again, because
I would look at Ben Mee.
But
that would be the guy who I'd look at.
Yeah, that's the game. I'm basically just going all in on those. And let's see. Oh, Mee is actually much cheaper, so that might change things. Yep. But remember,
he's a center half. Ben
yeah,
Mee,
right.
So you're not going to get any offense.
Right. So I'll take the offensive upside, maybe. But yeah. And then Ivanovic is just the slam dunk at 6 points. Somehow Ivanovic is cheaper than Kieran Trippier and Jason Shackle.
Mm. So I just basically flip-flopped. So between the four, you know, back guys, so goalie and three defenders, you have two teams represented. I have two teams represented. You have just Burnley and Chelsea. I also just have Burnley and Chelsea. So I have Tom Heaton in goal at 5 million flat out of 100 million, and then Trippier as well. And Ivanovic as well, but I also picked Azpilicueta, so I doubled up on the Chelsea matchup.
Yep, that's fair.
Which, you know, I paid for it. You know, Azpilicueta is an 8-6 compared to the 7 flat, so.
Yep.
So I don't know why Azpilicueta is 8-6 while Ivanovic is 6-8. I won't get into it. And so I think that's exactly the opposite. It should be the opposite.
Yep.
But be that as it may, I'll start off with my midfielders. So I actually, you know how I love to go with just the top end forwards and then try to save money elsewhere.
Yep.
So I'm trying to split it up a little bit. I tried to be a little more even. So what I did here is I have Adam Lallana at 8.5, Oscar at 11, and then I have Stuart Downing as one of my as I just love Stuart Downing. And then Aaron Ramsey at 9.6. I even took the struggling Aaron Ramsey because he's not Jack Wilshere.
God.
So hopefully if he gets a chance like that at you know, 6 yards out with no goalie, he'll score.
I'm shocked that Diame didn't make the list.
No, he didn't. I've been burned by it too many times.
Yep. Which is part of the reason that I am going with him. If you've jumped ship, then I'm on Diame. I actually went with Lallana also.
Okay.
8.5 is reasonable given his production. I don't think he's earned a higher price, but both, you know, you and I are both saying we like where,
especially if Lampert plays.
Yep. So we like, yeah, exactly. We like where that combination. I'm trying to see here if he actually got the assist. I didn't see Lambert's goal.
Yeah, but run through your other midfielders.
Yep. So I liked. I lost my screen here. I went with Ross Barkley. So I said I liked Morales in the rankings, but I like Barkley here at 9.1. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get involved. And then my high price midfielder is Fabregas, who I don't particularly love, mostly because we've spoken about this. Yeah, he doesn't score a lot, but the guys in his price range don't.
Yeah, he's in the Tadic range.
Right. Well, I'm trying to see here. Tadic is actually cheaper, but I liked the Chelsea matchup a little more. I could possibly change him out for Oscar.
It's either him or Sigurdsson. He's also an assist guy.
Yeah.
Or Juan Mata, also an assist guy, but I don't know if you can even trust playing him.
No, absolutely not. The only assist he's getting is passing somebody a Gatorade.
Exactly. That's good. I like that one.
So
you got jokes. It's very rare that happens.
Yeah.
Usually it's me with terrible puns.
Right. Right. So neither of us have jokes.
Exactly.
So those are the four that I went with. And then the three strikers, I thought Romelu Lukaku was very cheap at 9.4. We spoke last week about Diego Costa at 13.1, who's about, I think we said he was 5 or 6 million short of Aguero, which just seems like something that is bound to get corrected soon, but before it gets corrected, we'll take advantage. And then I went Wilfried Bony at 12.4 for the third one.
Yep. So because of the midfielders that I chose, I had to actually scale back my forwards. So I have Graziano Pelle at 10.9. I have Olivier Giroud also at 10.9, and I have Robin Van Persie at 10.1.
Whoa, RVP.
I can't stand that I took him, but it's at the price. I can't deny the opportunity this week. I'm all about opportunity no matter who it is. I think that there is, with Falcao still out, Van Persie's the guy who's going to be up there, and who knows? I also think that, you know, in a situation like this, you got to pick players that other players may not pick. So Giroud and Van Persie are players that people probably won't be too keen on. And if they perform well, I'll get points that no one else does or a few others do.
So you like Van Persie at 10.1 more than you like Lukaku at 9.4.
It's not that I like them more. I like them equally, and I had the money.
I'm trying to throw a few more names at you. If Lambert starts, like if you knew he was starting, would you take him at 9.7?
I would take him at 9.7, and if I know that he's not starting, what I would likely do is I would likely drop Lallana for someone cheaper, and then I'd drop Van Persie for Lukaku and then take Lallana out and put someone else in who's more expensive. So that's probably what I'll be doing Saturday morning when I'm checking. But by no means is that a guarantee.
Yeah.
But
my favorite thing right now is looking.
But also everyone's going to be on Lukaku.
Maybe.
At that price, I mean, it's hard to complain with the price, but my point is, like, we talked about it a few times. You need some volatility, which, you know, in this case for us, Tom Heaton may be volatile, but for you, Shaq will be volatile.
Yep.
If people are going to double up on Burnley, they're going to do what I did, take Trippier and Heaton. Yep. If they get the clean sheet and you have Shaq, you're going to get points that other people don't.
Yep.
I have a feeling that Robin Van Persie, if he scores, I'll be getting points that you know, basically only Manchester United fans will get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The pricing here, you know, we used to talk about how it's a little, we're not quite sure.
It's a little wonky.
Yeah.
Theo Walcott's the fourth overall player.
Yeah, he's the third forward. I'm looking at the forwards list, taking out Walcott because he's hurt, taking out Sturridge because he's hurt. Your top options are Aguero, Sanchez, Rooney, Harry Kane, Diego Costa, Charlie Austin, Wilfried Bony. Or Bony. I don't even know what we're calling him. But that's a weird list.
It's not a normal list.
That's a weird list.
So there's definitely – so what there is to say here is that if you're a daily fantasy player and DraftKings is too difficult because they have a really good system of pricing, why don't you try your luck over at MonoGoal? They have some players – they have some things you can exploit on this list.
Yeah. There's what were we saying? StatClash is another one that does some – that does weekly Premier Leagues. I'm trying to think if there are any others that I've played on.
Yeah, and there's Taga, which is
Taga is, does a they're more right. of a draft season long game, but
no, those would be the big ones that I'd go with.
Yep.
So and you know if anyone else wants their name mentioned, we are always available. You can tweet us at SportsByGotti for me or at RotoWire Andrew for Andrew.
Yep.
And if you want your site to be reviewed on the podcast, by all means, send us a tweet.
We'd love to play.
We'd love to play, and especially if you have bad pricing, we'd love to play even more. So you let us know, and we'll see what we can do for you guys. And on that note, we're going to end this episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone who celebrates. I will be with my in-laws in Virginia. What about you? Are you going to be at home, or are you going to be traveling?
My in-laws are relatively close, so I will be there, but I won't be home.
All right. You don't have to stay home, but you have to get the hell out of
there.
That's right. All right. And before we sign off, is there one specific fantasy soccer turkey for the season that you've had all season?
That's a great question. The Arsenal medical staff. I think they call them physios, though.
They do call them physios.
No, I don't know if there's anybody who's been that bad. I'm trying to think of...
I know who mine is.
Oh, who is it?
Radamel Falcao.
Yeah.
Even when he played, he didn't do well.
I'm not sure. I mean, he had a few assists, right? I mean, not
that. That's not what he's brought there for.
Yeah, I get that. But I always have trouble blaming guys for when they get hurt. Just because, you know, what.
He wasn't dynamic when he was out there. And he had
one goal, two assists in five games. That's pretty good.
That's one goal in five games, is what I see. Because I'm not going to count him getting assists. Why should I? He's a goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. You could also count the three goals he had in League One before the transfer.
Yeah. Yeah.
In your multi-league matches that you play on Mondo Goal.
Absolutely. All right, well, since the Arsenal medical staff and Radamel Falcao are so far our fantasy soccer turkeys. So with that, happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll catch you guys next week, and we're going to start the end of our condensed schedules with more coverage. So be excited. We'll talk to you guys next week.
For more great content, go to rotowire.com/soccer. It's all free and it's all for you.